Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord, I beat the case.
It is Wednesday, March 23rd. It is my daughter's 10th birthday.
Oh,
a big happy birthday to my daughter, Quinn, as I will see her when she gets off the school bus today. Really excited about it. Going to be a fun night. So enjoy it. Ready to enjoy that with my little girl. Really, really excited about it. But anyways, I wanted to start this off, this show. If you haven't seen it, I tweeted it out and a bunch of people tweeted it out, but we're going to watch it on the show. The best commercial ever made. And if you, they are not paying to be on this show. They are not advertising to be on this show. This is not an advertisement. This is me sharing just bomb ass content.
Mm-hmm.
And if you shave your face, your legs, your hoo-ha, whatever you shave, you got to buy their razors. It's just, there's no other razor that's needed, Chris. Not a single one. So we're going to add this right here. Here's the best commercial ever made.
Do you remember when there were two genders and only one and a half of them had to shave their mustaches? Oh, hi. I'm Jeremy Boring, CEO and God King of the Daily Wire. Harry's Razors used to advertise on our shows. They're a great product, and we were happy to do it. That's before some peon who works for me went and said that boys are boys and girls are girls, and that was just too much for Harry's. They condemned our views, views held by millions of Americans and virtually every human who's walked the planet until about 15 minutes ago, as inexcusable. And they dropped their ads from our network because of what they called values misalignment. You're damn right our values are misaligned. And it's not just Harry's either. Gillette razors used to be the best a man could get. Then they decided that men are too toxic. Unless you're the kind of man who teaches his daughter to shave her beard. If that makes sense to you, keep buying Gillette. But if you've had enough of the woke bullshit, and you're tired of paying companies like Harry's and Gillette to hate you... buy my new razor.
I mean, it continues to go after that. It's long. Unbelievable. I mean, one of the best commercials I've ever seen.
Yeah, Zach just, actually wrote the script for that. Zach wrote that script.
You would think, right? It sure seems like that, right? Enough of the woke bullshit. Like, we had a hot take. Boys are boys and girls are girls. Like, whoa. So shocking. But that commercial came out. It seems like because of this William Thomas swimmer, everything's about transgender athletes right now and transgender rights. And I think the most horrific take I've seen was from a woman named Cheryl Cookie, who's right here in the Midwest, Purdue University professor. It's always some fucking professor who has no touch with not in touch with reality at all. She has a PhD from USC, MS and from Miami U in Ohio, BS in kinesiology from Illinois. I mean, she wrote an op-ed for NBC that compared Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson. And it's just mind-blowing.
Robinson. Like, I sit here and I'm offended.
It's like, how can you even disrespect Black people like that? I'm not Black and I was offended. Like, how in the world could anyone compare what happened with slavery and racism and compare that to a boy competing against girls, biological beings that are less physically gifted by sex? Like, how, it's just mind-blowing. And the hypocrisy, right? Because then I threw out there, like, what's next? Now, this story didn't get much coverage. We never talked about it on this show, but there was a transgender, I don't know, what do you call it? Transgender woman that what born a boy, became a girl, or thinks they're a girl, right? That competed in MMA and fractured a bitch's skull. She fucking fractured her head because she's stronger and bigger and more powerful because she is a boy. And that sentence doesn't exist. She is a boy because he is a boy. And it just blows my mind, the hypocrisy. Like, you have transgender rights, women's rights, domestic violence, like sexual harassment, assault with dongs flopping around locker rooms, unwanted, right? The hypocrisy that we're going to just ignore all these other actual, I don't know what you want to call them, problems, but actual issues, and just say those don't matter right now because she is a he is a she. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that?
In an attempt to protect a group of people, we are disrespecting and losing other groups of people that deserve to be protected and respected. Like, that article comparing Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson is so absurd because who is going to stand up for women's sports? Like, who is going to sit there and protect these women when we're championing Leah and comparing him to Jackie Robinson, who faced some crazy ass real life shit in terms of like not something that he was in control of. I mean, he was fucking born black and that was it. So he faced some real life shit for a long time and still had to break through. But on this side, Leah Thomas, the swimmer, is biologically a male and dominated in the female races after competing as a male for years. And that's who we want to champion and protect. And it's getting out of pocket, man. Like, it's getting frustrating that people will write articles like this and then turn the comments off. And then if you say anything, all of a sudden you're canceled in a heartbeat. It's like, how about you grow up here and turn the comments on? Let so people.
No, they don't want that, right? They don't want that because it's, and I wish I could say it was for clicks, but it's not. It's, I think it is mental illness. People that believe in people that believe that this is the way to institute positive change in this world have mental issues, mental health issues, or they're just really, really dumb, which I can't believe. I mean, this lady is one of the most, you know, decorated academic careers that you could have, right? A doctorate, all these different great schools. Like, she can't be dumb. She's just so brainwashed. I just can't imagine how anyone thinks that this is okay. It's no different than championing Jussie Smollett or anyone else, right? If you are championing something that diminishes a fight against something that actually is a problem, you are part of the problem. It's what it is. Like, if you support, you know, Ray Rice, right? If you support Ray Rice, you are hurting domestic violence victims, right?
It's
one of the few times on this show where I'm sitting here like at a loss for words. I don't even know what to say about it anymore.
Yeah, it's getting so out of pocket. And I think that in academia, what I've discovered is that a lot of times the further and further these people get from sports, they don't view sports as a thing that there'll be an issue. It's like, oh, this is a social stance we can take to solve an issue. And it's like, no. Until you understand how the sports world works, until you get that you know, that novel out of your ass about race theory or about you know, transgender this, transgender that, like sex, like get it out of your ass and look at the real issues. Here's the issue. It's not fucking fair. It's fucking dangerous to the women's sports.
Well, it is. And you start talking about contact sports like MMA. Like, what are we talking about? Can you imagine?
Literally, as soon as I don't want to catch a case. No,
it's ridiculous. And I saw a thing, a meme today that was like, if you think Leah Thomas is dominating women's swimming, just wait till LeBronda goes to the WNBA. Like, what would LeBron James do? He would hurt people if he played in the WNBA. Can you imagine?
Oh,
I don't care. You could pump him full of so many women's hormones. It would be, it's like, just pump him with estrogen. He still would dominate that league. It's just
straight up. So it's like after you retire, he could be 44 years old, dog, after he retires. So you know what? Feeling feminine today. Let's go hoop. And Boosie, when he got up on there during that Vlad interview.
Oh,
first of all, Boosie's one of the funniest dudes like on the internet. Like, dude's a comedian. He's so funny.
He was not high at all.
No, he was
My man was on the moon. He wasn't going to the moon. He was on it.
he was on the moon. He wouldn't even let Vlad get a question out. He was like, he was like, man, he said, motherfuckers see dollar signs. They see dollar signs.
That's exactly what it is. And they're going to. They're going to. You're going to see this girl, or this boy dominating girls in a pool. And they're going to be like, damn, I could definitely do that on the court. Like, for sure that's going to happen now. And I saw ESPN tweeted out, and it blows my mind because I can't imagine that anywhere below 90% of ESPN's viewers believe that this is a thing that should be going on. It can't be. It's got to be higher than 90%. People think that this is wrong. And ESPN tweeted out a tweet that they're, you know, we need to fight transphobia and support the LBG. And then they added so many fucking letters. And I was going through them. Like people were educating me on Twitter what they all mean. And I stop at the B, LGB. That's where I stop. Everything after that, in my opinion, is mental health. But I definitely support the L's. I can get down with the B's and the G's are cool with me. But I just all the other I don't know how the world is supposed to keep up with all these letters. I really don't.
Right. It's tough. And I want to say this, Zach, because I think me and Zach are not quite on opposite ends of it, but a little like differing sides of it. I have no problem with anyone who wants to be trans. Like I could care less. Like I support, you know, trans rights, trans this, trans that. My issue comes when it is competing against biological females is kind of
I got no problem with issue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to switch genders, okay, be my guest. I've known people that have done it. You know, I've people that are close to me. Yes, absolutely. My issue comes when you destroy a female sport.
No, the issue becomes when you start infringing on other people, right? Correct. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Have pink hair, be a dog, wear a collar, have someone walk you on a leash, whatever the fuck you want to do in your life. But when you start putting your, what you desire or want to be or think you are, when you put that onto other people, i.e., there was a video of that man with a wig trying to walk into the women's restroom when there's a bunch of girls in there using it, and a bunch of moms got angry. And it's like, no. I know you think you're a girl. That's fine. But you're not going in that bathroom with actual girls, because now you're taking your problem and putting it onto other people. That's not transphobia. That is called human rights. It is a mother's right to ensure that her daughter is not in a locker room naked showering with a man that is naked. Like, that's a mother's right. That's a kid's right. Like the fact that we are even talking about this, if I'm telling you, I better never run into it where my daughter goes into a bathroom and some man with a wig on tries to walk in after her. I'm snatching his ass before he ever gets through the fucking door. I promise you. I don't give a fuck if it's legal, if they're allowed, if it's accepted. He ain't going near my daughter, and he's not going in the bathroom with my daughter. It's not happening. I don't go in the bathroom with my daughter, like, to help her or anything. Like, no. The answer is no, because you can't do that to other people. But I want to move on. This show is going to become like a transphobic show or whatever you want to call it. Or just a beacon of light into actual fucking reality. But I did have another question for you. Let's switch the topics to sports, Chris.
Sports.
So I went out to grab something to eat with my dad, who's in town last night. And I look up and couldn't even tell you the teams. Two shitty basketball teams are playing. And he proceeds to educate me that there is three tournaments outside of March Madness that are going on, postseason tournaments. And my question is, why the fuck do we have an NIT? What is the point, right? 64 teams make the tournament, right? Plenty of schools make the tournament. Right. A lot like bowl games. If you don't win half your games, you don't get to go to a bowl game. Like, when the season ends, you pack your losing ass up and go the fuck home, because straight that's up what you earned. And it makes you desire and work harder because you desire to have that prize. Why do we have the NIT?
No reason. None at all. It's just a money grab.
I could see why you have it for smaller schools, right?
I don't. I don't see why you have it for smaller schools.
I mean,
because no, Zach, they have conference tournaments. True. Like, there's already a conference tournament.
True.
They don't need the NIT.
Imagine a world where you. What does it prove?
Exactly.
What are you proving? That you're the 65th best team in the country? Like, what are you playing for? Not even. There's four playing games. So that would make you what? The 67th best team in the country? Or however many playing, I don't even know how many. I think there's two playing games, four playing teams. But either way, what's the point of it? What's the point of the NIT? Smiley face society where we want to give everyone a participation trophy. Everyone gets to make the tournament. It's like the dumbest shit alive. And I want to know, who the fuck is watching that? I mean, I didn't watch it. I just looked. I mean, I walked in and looked up, and it was on the TV, and I was like, "What? Why is there basketball on today?"
It was like, just filler. I was at a Mexican restaurant. They had it on one of the TVs, and I was like, "Oh, I was like, hey," immediately changed the channel. Immediately.
Yeah, like what? Who wants to watch that?
Exactly. That's, does anybody fill out a bracket? Does anybody fill out an NIT bracket?
No, but hey, I got a fucking an idea for you, Chris, for next year. Think about how sweet this would be. Mm-hmm. All right, me and my sister kind of came up with this over the weekend. She was in town for a baby shower. What we found out from the announcers during the second round on Saturday games, they were talking about the referees and how, you know, as the March Madness tournament goes on, there's less and less games. So mm-hmm. you need less and less referee crews, right? So they're evaluated after every game and the best ones move on a lot like the teams, right?
That's
I was like,
dumb.
Holy shit. Can you imagine a fucking referee bracket?
Referee tournament challenge.
Like you'd be like, if like they teed up a guy for hanging on the rim, and you'd be like, oh no way, he's getting cut. Done. That's
he's
a terrible
done.
Call. Like, you'd be like, Tim Thompson. I picked Tim Thompson to make it to the national championship, and you'd be like filling out brackets, and then imagine this, because you know they grade it, they do all this stuff, but mm-hmm. then they don't announce it, right? So then the next round of games comes on and you're glued to the TV for when the referee crew runs out to see if your dude made it through.
There's my guy, Jim Thomas.
It would be fucking hilarious.
That'd be incredible. I'd love it. I thought you were going to say something else. Like imagine if the winner of the NIT, you know, had to play the runner up of the big tournament to see who actually get like something like that. But
no, I mean, you know I'm all about gender equality nowadays. So I think the winner of the NIT should have to play the winner of women's March Madness. The national champs in women's has to play the winner of the NIT. Let's see who's better. Make them all take estrogen pills for a couple days beforehand and then go play.
No. Forget the estrogen pills. Let's have the winner of the NIT tournament play the WNBA championship in a seven-game series against a WNBA champion. That's what I want to see. Full seven games, you know, no limiting anything, you know, mix of the refs, NBA rules, just run it.
Running. I'm in for sure.
I do want to stay on the in sports world. Odell Beckham Jr., per Mary Kay Cabot, said he is open to returning to Cleveland now that Deshaun Watson is a quarterback. Do you want him, and why do you want him?
No. I mean, it has nothing to do with Odell. It has nothing to do with his abilities. Like he just tore his ACL. He's not going to be, you know, 100% Odell this season. And
he's already burned the bridge, I think. The bridge is already
He's already burned the bridge, but for me, it's not even about that. Like, you can rebuild the bridge. If he's good enough, and they need a wideout, so yeah, if he was healthy, I think that, yeah, you bring it back. Let's run this back with an actual quarterback. But he's not healthy. He just tore his ACL. Like, that is a nine-month injury most of the time. And he's got what? Like, he tore it in February?
February, yeah, Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay, so that's November. So you get him back for, like, what, the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
he could play before then. He's just not going to be full Odell. He's not going to be 100% Odell. He's not. And even at 9 months, I would argue that he's not going to be, because receivers are different. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not standing back in the pocket and running a little bit. He is running, sprinting, planting. Change of direction is the biggest thing. That's all he does. That's his game.
He's got the history of the leg injuries also now. It's history.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So no, I don't think you bring him back, mainly because I don't think he gives you much value this year, and they need somebody this year.
I think that'd be cool though. I think it'd be cool to have, I don't know, him return home and kind of rewrite the story on him. I do want to kind of move to kind of NFL-ish. Ohio State's pro days today. Cardale Jones and CJ Stroud will both be throwing. I think it's a really cool thing for Ryan Day to do. You know, obviously this will be, well, actually not obviously. So what Ryan Day has done the last little bit is this will be the second pro day for Garrett Wilson and for Chris Olave. Yep. And also someone who took part in the pro day last year was Jameson Williams took part in the pro day. So a little bit of seven-dimensional chess, but do you think it's weird having Cardale Jones come back and throw, or is that just good for?
No, I mean, it happens a lot. We did it. I'm trying to think of what year it was. It was, must've been 2012 or 2013, Troy Smith came back and threw for the wideouts because we didn't have a quarterback. And I don't know if you were allowed to do that back then. I never heard of that. Like a CJ Stroud going out and throwing, but he's not draft eligible. I don't think that was legal back then. And if it was, we just didn't do it. So yeah, Troy Smith came and just he made every throw for the wideouts. And he was obviously retired. I mean, he was working at Ohio State in the athletic department at the time. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's good for Cardale. I don't know if Cardale's I don't think Cardale's still trying to play, but he might be. Sometimes people just keep holding out hope. Either way, Cardale can make every throw, so he'll be out there and giving those receivers a chance to really show off what they can do. The bigger question I have is, why do you need Cardale, right? Mm-hmm. Why can't you just have CJ throw? Unless, are you trying to only have CJ make certain throws? Or, you don't want him to show a flaw off to the NFL? Or is it doing Cardale a favor? I didn't understand why they would have two. You don't need two. Right? One right. quarterback can certainly make it through that short workout. That's what was bizarre to me.
If anything, it makes it a little bit confusing why they would have two quarterbacks. Because obviously, quarterbacks with different timing. I mean, quarterbacks with obviously different levels of arm strength. And you would think that the comfort level with CJ Stroud would just be there. So it was definitely...
That was the bizarre thing for me. Why is Cardale doing it? Mm-hmm, unless Cardale wants another shot to play in the NFL, which I've seen before, and I can see that. Mm-hmm. But if that's not it, you don't need Cardale. Why is he there?
I do know he's been coming back a little bit. He had a throwing session a couple days ago with G. Scott Jr. I know that. Mm-hmm. Just kind of running routes and making throws. I do want to ask, you think – so I would assume that you would see all 32 teams at Ohio State's Pro Day. I mean, that's pretty standard. How many there you think are going to be there to watch C.J. Stroud and not the receivers?
I mean, none of them. They will all watch C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. They will all watch him, and they will – take notes on him, but if Cardale was the only guy throwing, they would all still be here. So none of them are coming to watch CJ Stroud.
You don't think any of them are let's see him and get to see him live and up close and personal for the first time.
Because they have a whole calendar year to do that draft prep and come back next year and watch the actual draft pick version of CJ Stroud. He could still get so much better, or, so many things could happen from now till then that mm-hmm. this is just more like a, wow, CJ Stroud was impressive. That's all it's going to be. You're like, CJ Stroud had a great arm strength, a great touch. They may take a note or two, but everyone's going to circle back on CJ in a year, right? It's more the.
Yeah. But Zach, I mean, if you get a good look at him, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe that kid is worth tanking for.
Maybe.
I got you. No, yeah, I got you right there with that one.
No, I mean, I honestly don't think that you're going to see that in a pro day. You're not going to see a key player where you're like, oh my God, we need to tank for this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you've already watched him on film, what he did in the Rose Bowl, and you're going to have a whole season to watch him play. So I think that, yes, a team might make the decision to do that, but no, I don't think it's going to be because of some pro day throw that he
got makes. You. I think pro days are funny. I think they're so interesting because it's like we fall in love with this against air thing, and we see these guys throw these bombs in shorts and t-shirts. And then it's like, yep, it's so that's stupid. The one. It's
so
no stupid. One's ever had a bad pro day. It's just, pro day is awesome.
True. That's not true.
Okay.
There's been people that have bad pro days.
No, you're
a bunch of drops or missed throws. I mean, I've seen some bad pro day performances. And but
I guess pro day, for the guys at the top, it's funny. I remember when Sam Darnold had his pro day, he missed a lot of throws, but it was outside and in the rain. And immediately everybody the next day, well, the Browns have their pick. It's over. That pro day was so exceptional that moved the needle on Sam Darnold ahead of Rosen and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Alex Smith. When he was coming out, he obviously shot up the board until he was eventually the number one overall pick. But at Alex mm-hmm. Smith's pro day, I think he went 80 for 80 throwing the ball. Or whatever, I can't remember how many throws it was. It might have been 60. I know it was high volume, but he went 60 for 60. And everyone that was there was like, whoa, that dude is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And his draft stock shot up the board because of pro day. So I've seen that happen too. There's been some impressive ones. But it's such a meat market thing. It's got a weird vibe to it. Like all these men looking at all these young athletes, their chests, their thighs, it's literally like livestock. It's weird. And you even watch it, David Ojobu snaps his Achilles in the middle of a drill, and the fucking coach that was running the drill walked past him, picked up the football, and walked past him again. It's that you're was, not going to like
bizarre not, to watch.
And I'm not saying he has to do anything. I'm not saying he has to check go over there. But how can you see a kid clearly have a traumatic injury and not even have your eyes on him and have empathy or compassion for what he's going through. The fun guy didn't even, once he went down, he didn't even look at him. He looked at the football, walked over, grabbed it, walked back and to move the drill and do it over here. And it's like, what is wrong with this? Like, what is wrong with you? And I'm telling you, it is the NFL. You talk about narcissism and elitists. They think they are so much better than everyone because of a fucking three-letter logo and because they are pros. You saw it. I've seen it with coaches, scouts. Like, scouts think that they can evaluate a receiver better than me. I would be like, are you fucking on drugs? Like, you're one of 40 people that's going to write something and give an opinion on athletes to an organization, right? One of 40 just in that organization. And you want to come in here with some elitist, like, you're better than everyone attitude? That's what the NFL is, though. It really is. And it's disgusting.
It's great. That Ajobu video really kind of shook me up a little bit. I felt so bad for the kid and kind of like the demeanor of everyone around. Like, nobody even looked to see where our trainer was. Everyone just, like, you know, got on their phone, started writing stuff down, the good old walk away. It is super, super interesting on that front. But yeah, pro days are weird. I some of the more memorable pro days in my memory, the Johnny Manziel pro day was less like a pro day and more like an event. I remember he had the music blasting over everything.
Of course. If that wasn't red flag enough.
Yeah, they had girls out there watching. Like, he had his, like, little crew of girls, just like the whole deal. I mean, people partying afterwards. His pro day was crazy. The Sam Darnold, obviously, working out in the rain. I remember that one.
Yeah.
And now the viral clip that's going around is the Malik Willis clip of him rolling out to the right or to the left and throwing a bomb.
It was an impressive throw. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, really impressive throw.
That throw, everyone does that throw every year. Like, I saw Zach Wilson make that throw last year, and I saw Justin Fields had a really, really good pro day and made a better throw than that to TJ Saunders. So, Zach, I have an awful take of the week. Dumbass sports personality of the week.
This is from the dumbass sports media personality of the week.
A blue
not check. Even close. And I don't know if we can call him a sports media personality because I have no fucking idea who this guy is. I'm looking at his name, Jack Settleman. Who the fuck? Mm-hmm. Who is that?
He runs a little sports network. You know, he's got the blue check mark, 35,000 followers that eat out of the palm of his hand. But he said, this was a tweet. Tough to imagine a world where Texas doesn't win the Big 12. Yours, Bijan X. Realistically, the top offense in the country. OSU was undoubtedly the favorite to have the top offense, but Quinn is greater than yours. Quinn is greater than Stroud. Bijan is better than Henderson, and Smith and Jigba is only a little bit better than X.
Whatever. The guy's clearly a Texas fan. Clearly, I get it. You want to believe with the fucking bullshit that comes out of your mouth. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That is clearly evident. And you're blinded by fanhood. So I don't know. We can't classify him as a sports media. I guess we can because none of them really know what they're talking about. But the most asinine thing, like Bijan, Travion Henderson, both great players. Both had great years. I could see an argument for either. Right. Not going to matter because Travion was a freshman. Right. And Bijan was a sophomore, second year guy. So we're going to see a different Travion Henderson this year. But I'll give you that. If you want to take Bijan over Travion, I disagree. But I don't think that's a horrible take. He was had a great year when he was playing. Right. Smith and Jigba is the best receiver in the country coming back. So it's not a small margin, but at least he honored the fact that. That is where the advantage is to go. But the fact that you could put Quinn Ewers ahead of CJ Stroud is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Quinn Ewers, number one, has not played college football, right? Played a couple snaps for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. In practice, he hasn't figured it out yet. I'm not going to say he's not going to be a great player, but he is not anywhere in the same hemisphere as CJ Stroud. What CJ Stroud did the second half of that season last year was he was the best quarterback in the United States of America. And he's only going to get better. To think that Quinn Ewers is going to have some slingshot of development and go past CJ Stroud in his first year playing, you're on fucking drugs, Jack. Drugs. It's not even remotely close. Take the fucking fact that you can analyze sports out of your Twitter bio. You cannot do it. You failed. You failed. And this is a failure that you don't get to come back from. There's no recovering from this. So you've already showed your ass that you're a fucking idiot.
He tried to defend himself, Zach. He said, things I've learned about Ohio State fans today, their memories begin on November 28th, the day after the most impressive offense in football found only 27 points against Michigan, and their offense is losing Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. He said, I've also learned that Ryan Day is a loser in big games, selected C.J. Stroud over Quinn Ewers, who was 18 years old, forcing him to transfer, and that makes Stroud the better quarterback in the last two decades, LOL. Ohio State fans believe that Drew Bledsoe is better than Tom Brady because at one point Bledsoe beat Brady for the starting job.
Listen, Drew Bledsoe was better than Tom Brady at one point, and then he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
It's just
why are we comparing Quinn Ewers to Tom Brady?
Right. Like, what the fuck? This kid is the most anointed motherfucker alive. You know how many times there's been some ridiculous superstar quarterback that's just going to be the best thing ever, the next Peyton Manning and all this other nonsense, and they end up being just okay? And some of them ended up being trash. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't make any sense.
The Rose Bowl never happened to my guy, Jack. The Rose Bowl never happened. It never happened.
No, football never happened to this guy, Jack. He doesn't fucking know football. It's just what it is. Go watch the Michigan film. If that's the game that we want to, like, put CJ as, you know, as an underperformer. Mm-hmm. Right, first of all, it wasn't CJ's fault that the offense sputtered. We didn't have a run game worth of shit. We only ran stretch and our tackles got abused. It was had nothing to do with CJ Stroud. Nothing to do with him. And then on top of that, to say that, well, Ryan Day chose CJ over Quinn Ewers, who was only 18 years old. Like, timeout. Quinn Ewers chose to come to Ohio State a year fucking early. That's what happened. He showed up halfway through training camp. Ryan Day didn't, not even halfway, three quarters of the way through training camp. So he's factually wrong on a number of things, right? One, CJ Stroud played bad against Michigan. Horrible take. Not true. Watch the film if you know how. Ryan Day chose CJ Stroud over Quinn Ewers. Wrong. Quinn Ewers showed up three quarters of the way through training camp. No chance to even learn a play. No chance to even get reps. Ryan Day didn't choose shit. Quinn Ewers chose to be the backup when he chose to enroll early and forego his senior year in high school and show up after training camp. There's so many things factually wrong about what this guy is saying. Yeah. And I get it. It's all for clicks. It's also that we can sit here on the show and go off about it. And then people that listen to the show will go click on his thing and look at him. I get it. But if you want to get clicks and grow a brand and business because you're a fucking idiot, have at it, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, go be the next Stephen A. Just a fucking moron. And that's why everyone comes into your page, because you're an absolute idiot. No, couldn't be me. Could not be me.
Couldn't be us. Not here. And look, no. Jack, we will have a chance for you to come learn tape when we drop this Michigan video breakdown. Straight up. Like, you want to come learn? You want to improve your brand? You want to be better? Come learn. But if that's you want to keep typing up some bullshit, okay, do it. We don't care.
That's what we'll do. As soon as I'm done breaking down the game, we'll shoot it over on Twitter to our guy, Jack. What is his name? Jack Settlement. Jack Settlement.
Little Jack Settlement.
No doubt. But that's all I got, Chris. That's all
me
I
too,
got,
dog.
All I me got too. For you today. I'm mm-hmm. not feeling great right now. I need to.
Me either, bro. Zach doesn't wear a mask and he got me sick.
Yeah. Hey, I'm selfish. Go fuck yourself.
Joe. Hey, who's HR? Right,
I'll see you, Chris.
Wait, no, fuck no. Who's HR? Who's HR? Who's the HR department?
No HR here. You see this? Assholes live forever. All right, Menace Nation, we appreciate you. We'll catch you tomorrow morning. Menace out.